Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Me and Kristen Fetterman here.
Hello.
And Daria.
Hi, everyone.
See, I'm just making everybody's introductions today. We are.
You're so good at it. So.
Yeah, well, I'm good at talking. It's my gift.
Yes, it is. Mine too.
Daria?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. My gosh. I think we lost. We lost you. I got a FaceTime call on my phone, and it seems and on my iPad, and it seems to have kicked us off of Skype. That was a little weird.
Wow. You know, see, ladies, you never know what's going to happen with internet radio, so we have to be prepared for anything.
I know. Seriously, it's crazy. It's crazy. Crazy. So are you done? You're done Christmas shopping?
You know what? I haven't even started, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it this year. I don't know why. I mean, as far as the true meaning, yes, because I do have my faith, but I don't know. I'm just not, I don't know why I'm not into it. But I'll do my stuff online and I'll be ready.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done. I have a couple things to buy, but you know, the difference for you is that you don't have kids. When you have kids, even when they're older, you can't just, Christmas takes on a whole different thing, you know? I went to the hairdresser today and we were talking about, you know, Christmas, and she has two small kids, like a 4-month-old and like a 3-year-old, a 3.5-year-old. And we were talking about it, and it's funny because, you know, the magic goes away from when you were little, you know, once, and especially, you know, it just goes away I want to put this in case there are little listeners, there's something about waiting for Santa Claus and getting gifts, and, you know, once that's gone, so some of the magic goes away, I think, and then you get to the real true meaning of Christmas, you know, and then it gets to be just so commercialized, you know, it's just
crazy.
And
you become Santa Claus.
I love Santa. Personally, I love Santa.
Santa's
awesome. Chris loves Santa.
I do.
She does. She loves Santa.
Santa's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And Santa rocks. And I love, I mean, I'm such a geek, but I love Hallmark Christmas movies, and every year they come out with like a whole slew of new ones.
Yeah.
Aren't they the best?
Kristen's favorite thing is what, the Polar Express?
Yeah.
She loves
that
movie. I watched it last night with my other daughter while Kristen was at work, and I was like, this is the dumbest movie. I don't like it.
It is dumb, but it's like it has all the like magic of Christmas you could ever want in a movie.
I guess. I'm just like not, I don't know, I'm just not that crazy about it. I don't know why. Whatever. But I love like the old Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and you know, I mean, all of those are cool. But you know, Polar Express just never did for me. But oh my God, both my girls absolutely love Polar Express. So anyway, we are we're 12 days away, I guess now. 12 days until Christmas.
Incredible.
I'm stunned, and we're getting snow up here. And I know you in Florida, you're not getting any snow, Daria, but we are actually getting snow. Not right this minute, but we're scheduled to get. We've had two snows already this year, and we have one scheduled for tomorrow as well. It's on the dock, I guess, for tomorrow. I don't know if it's for sure coming or not. You know how that changes, but they're talking about another one for us, and that's all right. I like the snow. I don't mind the snow.
I don't.
Kristen doesn't like it. She's got to drive. I don't have to drive anywhere anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. See, snow is great if you don't have to go anywhere. I'm with Kristen. I used to hate when I lived up there and had to go to work and scrape the windshield and warm up the car, and then you're worrying about driving on all those windy roads in Pennsylvania.
I know. They're so wide. You know, I grew up the first like 13 years of my life. I was in Ohio, and when we moved out here, and it's only across the state, one state away. You know. I was stunned at the differences. Everything was so flat in Ohio, and everything is so windy and curvy and hilly here, you know, and it really does make a big difference. I mean, we used to get a lot more snow in Ohio, but it was easier to drive in. I didn't have to drive. I was too young then, but it seemed like, you know, there were less problems than there are here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In Florida.
Yeah, well, I know. I think my goal someday is to be down there with you, Daria. I'm headed down. You're coming up here. You're coming up here, though, soon, right, to visit?
Yeah, a week from today, I'll be in the snow. Yay.
Yay.
I'm only coming for my family and friends, not the weather.
I don't blame you. Who did you have on your show this week? Who'd you interview?
Oh, this week I had a really interesting author. And I have to say, my show, I interview all different genres, whether it's a genre I read or not. And so this week happened to be one of those weeks where it was a horror writer. And I'm not a horror book person. But
right.
I interviewed this author, Ronan Cray, and he was excellent. I mean, he had some really great ideas. We talked about everything. His book is called Red Sand, and it really is a horror story. But it was interesting, you know, so we talked a little bit about his plot and his next book. I mean, they're all in the realm of the paranormal and psychological thriller type of thing. But we also talked a lot about social media marketing and independent publishing versus traditional publishing. So he was a really great guest. He was really talkative, and he had a lot of interesting things to say. And so it's always nice. I love talking about the creative process with another author, whether I read that or not. It's always interesting.
Yeah, I read so many different genres myself, and I try to listen to your show as often as I can. I definitely try to catch it in the archives if I can't get it live. But it's like it's interesting because it's so it's so much now that I've written a book, it's so different to think how I catch errors that I would have never caught before. Do you find yourself doing that?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you brought that up because one of the things Ronan said that's great about new technology, and he's right, he's like, don't be so freaked out. Oh my gosh, if you do catch it later after you publish it and there's like a little mistake, he goes, how easy is it to go on Smashwords or wherever you've got it or Lulu or whatever site you publish it on, and you can make the correction and reload it. I mean, it's so, and you know, I said to him, you know, I never thought about that before. But
yeah.
He's right, you know, because we were talking about professional editing, and I'm kind of like torn on that. I mean, you know, and we don't have to get into a whole big conversation about this, but just really quickly, you know, he, like me, just had like a team of people, colleagues, kind of reading it as he went along, and that was his point. He's like, look, you know, if later on you find something you want to change or if there's a typo, it's easy enough to correct. He's like, the important thing is you know, and you know, he's saying make sure it's good quality, but I think people get overly fixated on the editing part of something. So
yeah,
it was a really interesting interview.
I've always been a perfectionist when it comes to writing anything, and everything's got to be perfect, and you know, and it's impossible to do because you know you just don't know everything, you know, so you're not going to always have everything perfect, and I find myself like reading so many different things, I don't know, to me, like I had Balboa publish mine, so I can't go in and do that you know correction thing that you can do, but I won't go that way next time. With my next book, I'm definitely going to go either the Lulu approach or one of the other ones that, you know, we know of and do it that way.
Yeah.
But that's a nice thing. Well, that was great that you had, I had on Dr. Edvija. Her name is so hard to, it's Bing. I'm not sure. I forget how to pronounce her name. I'm horrible with pronunciation. It's French. So it's E-D-W-I-G-E.
Edvija.
That was Edvige, I think, or Edvige, but her last name was B-I-N-G-U-E. And she wrote a book called You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life. Really interesting conversation, really, really great lady, and she actually has a doctorate in metaphysical science, and I have a master's in metaphysical science, so we kind of, you know, we're kind of in the same kind of place, so it was... although she studied in Sedona, Arizona, which is a whole different element. I mean, that's just such a beautiful place. So, but
yeah.
it was a great show too. And everybody, all our listeners, you can catch Daria's show on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast time, on the RightStream Network. Go to www.rightstreamradio.com, and you can catch my show, Just Believe, at 7 p.m. on Sundays, every Sunday, and I don't even remember who I'm having on this week, but somebody fascinating. I only pick fascinating people just like you do. I mean, you know, we don't want to interview boring people.
That's right. And you know, and lucky for us, there are lots of fascinating people out there.
Yes,
so
there are.
It worked out. But just quickly, too, I want to mention that John, who hosts Military Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, he had a really good interview this week with Special Operations Warrior Foundation, which is a wonderful private charity that raises scholarship money for the children of deceased special warriors who died in service. And whether the kids want to go to college or whether it's a trade school, you know, whatever it is they want to do with their future that requires additional training, this organization raises money for them. So I just want to encourage anybody, if you haven't listened to that, check that out too. And Lisa, I actually did catch your interview from Sunday on the Soul Purpose, and it was really fascinating. I found her to be such an intriguing guest and made me think a lot. It was some of the things, some of the experiences she was recounting, I was like, wow, this is pretty wild. But it was
really interesting.
I've been,
you know, as long as I've been getting into spirituality and been into spirituality and been studying metaphysics and all that, the last few guests I have had, and you know, a lot of times what my listeners like are psychic readings. I mean, I know that. And I mix it up, and I don't always give them live psychic readings. I give them some other stuff, but I want, you know, a lot of the times I've been learning so much from the guests that I've been having on. I have been going through a whole new meditation process. I've been going through this whole new journey of my own. I'm just, you know, trying to work on some of my own issues, you know, the staleness that you go through and just the, you know, the stuff that happens. You know, I'm busy fixing everyone else and a lot of times I ignore myself and I end up very lethargic and very tired and just, you know, no real desire to really get anything done except what I have to get done. And I know that I'm stuck, you know, and I've been listening to the guests that I've had on have been so helpful to me, and I really hope that everybody, even though they're, you know, you can certainly call in anytime, and I'll give you, you know, when I'm on the radio, and I'll do a live psychic reading for you, if you know, if that's what you're doing. But I hope that everybody really is listening to all the shows and listening to you know, all the information that these incredible people have to offer. You know, it's spiritual, it's under a spiritual umbrella, but they're talking about basically just, you know, getting through life, just, you know, finding a way to be happy and in a situation where it's not always that easy to be happy, you know, and staying healthy and staying well and, you know, and that being a mind, body, spirit thing, not just a going to the doctor every time you're sick, but let's keep you healthy. There's just so much more to it. And I hope that everybody's enjoying both aspects of my show. But we're definitely going to get some psychic readings on there soon. So everybody will be loving that again. So anyway,
well, one other before we bring on our guest, Lisa, because I just wanted to give another shout out to one of our other programs. I happen to be a guest with them Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, and it's called Family Power Hour, and it's hosted by licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Billy Eisenberg and family law attorney Sheena Benjamin Wise, and it's a call-in talk show type of format. It's not an advice show. They talk about specific issues each week with experts in the field, and they kind of delve into some heavy-duty topics like, you know, bullying and teen suicide and human trafficking, but then they'll also, some weeks they'll cover more fun things like, you know, dating after 50 or how does music inspire us. Now, they are more South Florida-based in that all of their guests are local, but they do an outstanding job, and so, again, you can check them out from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Wednesday nights on the Right Stream Radio Network. And our show page here at blogtalkradio.com is just /Right Stream. And, of course, that's WRITE stream.com. So, and Lisa, one other quick thing, too. I'm sorry, our poor guest. Kara,
yeah,
thank you for your patience. I promise I will shut up.
She's asleep now. Kara's sleeping now, but that's okay.
Just very quickly, and you know, John D. Gresham, our Monday host, John is also a game designer. And Lisa, you and I were talking about how we wanted to develop possibly a technology show. Well, John, I happened to mention it to John. He goes, "Well, Daria," he goes, "I'm in that industry too." He's like, "I know a lot of cool people. Let me make some phone calls, and I'll get you a good host." And I did say, "You know what, John? We need another guy."
We need a little balance. A little balance where the girls have taken over Right Stream Radio. There's no doubt.
So girls rule, but John, he's working on that. So just, you know, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening, please stay tuned for that because I'm really excited. I mean, that's going to be that'll be our sixth show on the network.
I think that was a natural next place for us to go was to go towards something technology-based, gaming. I mean, wow, everybody's into gaming. That's a great thought, not to mention, you know, computers and computer stuff and phones and all the everything. It's just so hard to, you know, it's just so hard to figure you out. I mean, I get a new iPhone and I'm like, what? You know, trying to figure it out. I've got to go to my kids. I mean, you know, that's just sad. But anyway, let's get to our guest tonight. And that's a lot of stuff going on. Everybody, you can keep up with what's going on with the Right Stream Radio Network by following us on Twitter at RightStream, and then it's hashtag RightStream too. You can even look up hashtag RightStream or follow us. Is it just at RightStream? I always ask you this, Darius.
Our Twitter is at RightStream. And then you can follow hashtag RightStream.
That's what I wasn't sure about. I wasn't sure if they were both the same. And then our website is rightstreamradio.com, and you can find out everything that's going on with us there. So before Kara and my daughter Kristen here fall asleep, I'm going to read our guest tonight, Kara Hawkins, her bio, and let's get her on the air. If you want to handle that for Daria, I'll read this and we'll bring her on and start asking her about her incredible life here. But Kara Hawkins is the founder of Kara's Press, a freelance copywriting business that focuses on alternative health, wellness, and fitness products. Prior to copywriting, Kara was highly successful in sales and marketing for the medical industry, where she was perfectly happy working nonstop until her kids came along. The struggle to manage work, home, and family took a toll on Kara's life. Her health was declining, her relationships were strained, and her kids were unruly. Through a series of small steps, Kara launched a successful home-based business and took her life back. And she's going to share her secrets with you, because she firmly believes that embracing her femininity is what finally allowed her to, and she has in quotes, have it all. And I love that. I think that that is, I think that that's really what the show is all about, is being, you know, being a woman is not, you know, 1950s anymore, where we're just, you know, putting dinner on the table when our husband gets home and keeping the house clean. There's a lot more to being women now. And, I'm very excited to be able to talk to somebody who actually has gone through it and figured out how to do it successfully. So without any further ado, let's bring Kara on the show with us. Kara, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, Kara.
I'm sorry for our long talk. We always have so much to catch up on. We don't all sit down and talk together even. So it's like, you know, this girls' night is really our girls' night in a lot of ways.
I loved it. I've been listening to your show, but it really was confirmation to me that I am talking to the right audience, I'm in the right place, and I kind of fit in with you guys, so it's perfect.
Well, I'm glad, and we're really glad that you're on the show tonight, and, you know, and that we have a lot of questions for you, because really, we don't even know. I mean, explain. The business that you started was a copywriting business, correct?
Yes, exactly.
So how did that come to be?
It was kind of a process. I mean, there's a long backstory to the business, but I basically was in a career. I was doing really, really well. I kept getting promoted. I was working more and more hours. And, you know, I have this poor family who was getting no attention at all. So I would see them briefly at night, and then I would spend hours looking for another job and just applying online for different things, you know, something to kind of get me out of where I was. And one night, I mean, there were several different things that happened. My eyes should have opened a long time ago, but I just sort of changed, and I decided to stop wasting my time on things that were never going to get me anywhere and start figuring out maybe what I could do that was different. And writing has always been part of my life. I majored in journalism in college. It's something people have always told me was a gift for me. And so I saw this little link on the side of a job search I was doing that said, make six figures copywriting at home. And, you know, of course, my business voice said, oh, baloney, you know, there's no way to do it. But the part of me that was just so desperate for something else said, you've got to click on it and just see what it says. And really, it was a series of courses. But I signed up to take a course. I started doing that course, and through the course, I learned about this whole new world of copywriting, and there are millions of avenues to it, but eventually I picked one and stuck with it and started my business.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, so many people, you know, so many women that are working, that are working out in the world are having the same kind of struggle that you're talking about, where, you know, they're barely able to see their kids. When my kids were very young, my kids are my family situation is like this, and I don't think I've talked about this on the show, but I was married before, and I had two children, one of them being Kristen, who's one of our co-hosts, the other one, her brother, who's 10 and a half months older than her. Yes, folks, you don't plan on that. That was not the plan, 10 and a half months apart. Yes, you were wanted, Kristen. She goes to say something. She was going to say she wasn't wanted.
It was just an oops.
It was a surprise. So anyway, I was working in sales and marketing as well, and I was working for a California-based company, and I spent a lot of time in California, a lot of time on the road. And I remember my little, like, Kristen, when she was, like, being, like, 2 years old and younger, you know, reaching out for me, while my mom or dad, because I ended up getting separated when they were 2 and 3 years old. So when they were very young, my parents were taking care of them when I would travel, and Kristen would reach out, and she'd be like, Mommy, no go on airplane, you know.
It's horrible.
That's heartbreaking. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And then they'd come in, and I'd be on the computer when I was home, you know, putting something together for work, you know, and they'd be like, Mommy, off the pooter. They called it the pooter. You called it the pooter. It's so cute. Off the pooter. So, you know, it's hard. It really is hard. And I always say that I think once you find out you're pregnant, you start feeling guilty. Do you find that true, Kara?
Yes. I mean, part of my story as far as honoring your femininity, I mean, you don't even know what that is, you know, when you're 20. You don't realize that someday there's going to be this child who steals your heart and you desperately miss them. So you start a career path. And, you know, if you want to get to the top in any career, you work really long hours and you work hard. But then all of a sudden one day, you know, that other part, that marriage and family and all of that stuff, eventually it comes true. And so you're just so torn. And for me, you know, I knew without a doubt that my heart was with my kids, but I had this whole other thing in process that was just exploding. And so I kind of call it the snowball effect. You know, your responsibilities are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually it just all crashes. I mean, I think that's what happened to me. Everything just kind of crashed, and it had to change. It had to change. I was miserable. I was sick, and it had to change.
And that's a lot about what we talk about on my show and what we talk about, Darian and I talk about on really all of our shows, I think, anytime we get any airtime at all, is the fact that all this stress affects your health so negatively. And, you know, there's something so true about, you know, the whole saying, when mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy kind of thing, you know. And it's like, if I'm not feeling well, if I'm not at my best, I see that it affects my family.
Right.
You know, and I think Kristen says no. You don't think?
It depends what you mean by that.
What do you mean?
Like when you're cranky or like...
If I'm cranky, I'm cranky because you've all done something to upset me.
No, not usually.
Yeah. This is the fun. This is what we go through. Kristen is actually a very old soul, and she is way more mature than I can handle sometimes. 19 years old, going on, I don't know, 48, 49. I think she's older than me, really, soul-wise. So, I started feeling like I just, you know, I could never do enough, and then I got divorced. And then that added more guilt, you know, because then you're trying to be mom and dad. And, you know, and my ex-husband didn't exactly step up. Then I met my new husband 5 years later, who's not really my new husband anymore. We've been together for over 10 years. But We, you know, and he took on the parent, the step-parenting role fabulously, and has done a really, really, you know, fantastic job with the kids. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I feel like you're always trying when you're a working parent. And I don't know if it's the same for men because I think it's just in their DNA expected that they're going to work and that they're going to be a dad. And the dad thing is, you know, in a lot of cases, the dad thing is what they do when they're home. And, you know, and I think for women, every time we walk out the door and we go to work, the whole time we're always, our kids never leave our minds and we always feel guilty. I mean, I did. I know I did.
And I think that's something that young women need to consider. I mean, it's hard to think about that as a college student, but, you know, what kind of partner do you need? If you're someone who wants to be the CEO of a company, then you need a partner who is happy taking care of the kids.
Right.
And so it doesn't have to be the man or the woman, but, you know, both people can't be running the show. I mean, both people can't be working 60 hours. Somebody's got to take care of the family.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, that's what happens when you get the power couple, you know, the two people together that are just, you know, powerful. And so much of it isn't, I mean, it's just the way people meet. They meet because they're in the same industry or they're in the same job, you know, they're doing the same sort of thing. And that's why they meet. And then, you know, do you believe, I know you talk about a snowball effect from the feminist movement that you feel keeps women from having it all. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, for me, I feel incredibly lucky that I grew up in a time where women were receiving great opportunity professionally, you know, things that my mom didn't have a chance of doing. And so there were still some glass ceilings, but I really believe that I was smart enough and capable enough that I could do anything professionally. And really, to be honest, that has always held true for me. But, you know, when you leave college in your 20s, like I said, and you start on this career path because you're very driven, you end up in a situation where work becomes a lot of who you are. And, you know, at some point there's a child involved and a marriage involved also, and you just can't be Gloria Steinem and June Cleaver too. You know, I mean, at some point, something's got to give. And so I kind of had to call BS on the feminist version of having it all and change it to a feminine version of having it all, a version that really honored who I was. And that's an individual definition. It doesn't have to be one size fits all. But for me, I would say your show really says it all. That for women, there's a component of love. And so, you know, the love of your children, love of yourself, love of your spouse. There's the liberty aspect because, you know, let's face it, if I buy a pair of shoes, I don't want someone telling me, hey, you shouldn't have bought those shoes. I don't like that. And then there's also the lip gloss aspect, and that's very individual for each person. For me, that's kind of exercise and fitness. For you, that might be getting a makeover. But I think we have to honor all of that, and it's sort of mind, body, and spirit, like you said before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about when we were naming the show, and Darry and I mean, coming from a marketing background, I mean, putting a name to something was always very easy for me, and we really struggled with this. And it's amazing how we just, a phone call, I mean, we sat a couple of times about it, and we wanted to have a name that represented, we just didn't want the talk or one of those, you know what I mean, we wanted something that really said what the show was, and we wanted something that honored women and all the aspects of a woman's life, which I feel is a very different thing than what it was, you know, 50 years ago. I mean, it's just a different time.
Right, exactly. I mean, and it's a huge concept. I mean, I think the name of your show is a huge concept, and that's kind of why I was drawn to it, and that's why I wanted to offer my help. You know, if anyone, whoever else is going through all of this, you know, just listen up, because I wish that someone had just grabbed me and said, you know, you can do it. There are things you can do to make a change. You really can.
So what, how would you define a woman that has it all in your, you know, from your view?
Again, I would say that it's a very individual definition. I mean, I think, you know, from a societal standpoint, a woman who has it all is someone who has a good career, that's making good money, who's a good wife, who's a good mother. But, you know, I don't think that's true. I think it has to be what is best for you. And so if you're a stay-at-home mom and you have a great marriage and your husband respects your contribution to the family, then, you know, you have it all if you're happy. I think happiness and inner joy and inner peace and all of that stuff really is kind of the definition of having it all. And once you have it all, you know, once you have that joy and you have that peace and you have that vision for what makes you happy, I really think so many doors start to open for you. And Lisa, I'm sure you could talk about this for hours, but you know, I had read The Secret, and I had read different people and things like that, and, you know, that all say just if you have a vision and if you're grateful and if you're all these things, then the universe will open up to you and give you everything that you need. But, you know, when you're sick and you're miserable and you're tired and the kids are screaming and your husband's not happy and work is stressful, it's just really hard to find a place to start. And so kind of that's really my message, that you have to find a really small place to start, a small thing that makes you happy, and make a commitment and do it every day. And once you have that little bit of happiness, you add in something else, and it just kind of grows from there, or at least that's, you know, what happened for me.
I think it's fascinating. To me, it's amazing that you're on tonight, because this is something I've been struggling with so much, and I've been telling everyone that's in my life lately, I am not walking my talk right now. You know, everything that I would say to a client that comes into my office and I talk about, you know, how to balance their life and how to maintain a positive attitude and how to handle the difficulties that come along with life, right now for probably the past, I would say almost year, I have been doing a poor job at in my own life. So I think what we're talking about is very similar to that. And I think that so many women are going through the same sort of thing, and you know what, they're unhappy and they don't know why they're unhappy, and they think, you know, maybe it's not your marriage, maybe it's not your husband, maybe it's not, you know, the house you live in, or, you know, maybe it's something within yourself that you have to fix, that you need to work on, and realize that that other people are not responsible for keeping you happy. You know, that's not your husband's job. That's your job to find your happiness.
Right, right, right. You create your happiness. It's a choice, right? You decide to be happy every day. But that can be very difficult. It can be very difficult to decide to be happy. And, you know, luckily for me, I was not in a situation where, you know, we were struggling to buy groceries. It was kind of the other extreme. But I can see how either side or anything in between can really kind of bring you down, because we take on the guilt. You know, like you said, we take on the guilt of everyone. Take
yeah.
on the, you know, guilty for not having lunch with our kids, guilty for,
yeah.
you know, not volunteering, guilty for this, guilty for that. And at some point, like you said, I think you really have to decide, you know, what is one thing that can make me happy, because guess who's at the really very bottom of the list? It's you.
Yeah.
You know, we are always at the absolute end, always.
And I, you know, I want to ask Daria's opinion on this. Daria, I hope you didn't fall asleep. Are you there? I know. Actually, Daria's trying to manage like 5 different things for us tonight because I'm having computer issues. So she's got the chat room going on and Twitter going on. She's got all the other social media stuff going on while I'm just sitting here chit chatting and drinking a glass of wine, and she's like typing furiously. But Daria, Daria is someone who has not been married yet and doesn't have children yet. And you know, I'm wondering from your perspective, do you still feel that same sort of guilt or that same, like what we're talking about? Do you have that same sort of thing going on in your life, or is it different being single? Are you still at the bottom of the list, like Kara just said?
Well, you know, just one thing, I'll answer that in a second. I just want to back up and I just want to add a different opinion to what's been said already, in that, you know, I came from a family where I had female relatives who owned businesses in the 30s, and I had a female cousin, I never knew her, who was the first female pharmacist to graduate from Temple University. So, that in my family was always talked about, you know, and I'm getting to my point, I promise. You know, it was always, you know, expected, but it was nothing new for me, you know, and it didn't come along in the 60s. It was something that was just happening in my family for decades. But so with that, though, came a sort of, you know, I was the youngest of 5, and Kara, like you, I always wanted to write, and I was an English major in college, and, you know, when I was little, I would tell everybody I was going to be a novelist or journalist, and but I felt like because so many people had achieved so much in my family that I had a lot to live up to. My dad was a son of immigrants, worked his way through medical school, all through school, and became a doctor, you know, with nothing and worked his way up. My grandfather on my mom's side came here when he was 8, didn't know the language, and worked hard and became a pharmacist. And so there's like a lot of achievement. And in a way, for somebody like me who was very creative and liked to do a lot of different things, that's kind of what I struggled with, you know, after college. And it took me a while, and I spent a lot of time in the corporate world. And now I finally, over the last 5 years since I published my book, self-published, I got into social media and decided to start my own little social media ghostwriting, you know, content writing business. And, you know, after having done project work for various agencies. And so the guilt that I struggle with is that my family that worries about me, you know, because I'm out of state and, you know, living in sunny Florida and kind of doing things that are, not that I'm doing anything that's unorthodox in terms of wanting my own business, but in terms of the family dynamic, it's like you're either a lawyer or a doctor or you work for a company, and it's been difficult for certain family members to understand that I'm willing to sacrifice materially right now if I have to in order to pursue this dream, because I know I have a vision, I have a plan, and I'm working it every single day. So that's the kind of guilt that I struggle with sometimes. And Kara, I want to get your take on this too, because I found when I was in the corporate world, I was a great time manager when I worked for somebody else. And unfortunately, in my own life, and Lisa knows this, I get all out of whack. I mean, I'm constantly working, and so the lines are so blurred that I have a hard time finding balance. So I was wondering what your advice is about that.
I know exactly what you mean there. I mean, I really do. It's so funny that you said that. It's difficult. I almost feel like I could do more when I had less time, but I think you have to set boundaries. I mean, life, any kind of working life, it's all about setting boundaries. And, you know, I'm good at giving this advice. I'm not so good at doing it myself, but I got to a point where, I mean, I just had to do it, and someone gave me that advice. And so finally, you know, I woke up and I did it, and I have certain hours that I work. I have certain hours that I, you know, dedicate to family time. And so for you, that would be to personal time. And then, you know, if there's a deadline or something like that, yeah, sure, once in a while I may be up really late turning that out and finishing it, but it's not the norm. And so for me, you know, like you said, you had to create a plan. I mean, I kind of, as I was going through all of this, I was trying to figure out what to do, you know, I started asking myself questions like, you know, what are my gifts? What skills do I have? Or what skills would I want to have? What would be my dream job? And, you know, how much do I have to live comfortably or, you know, to be okay? What savings do I have that I can contribute to getting this going? Because, you know, it's not like I just decided to do this and had 50 clients waiting. But I, you know, I had an opportunity recently to really expand my business and do something different. And it's hard for me to say no. And I started thinking in my mind, you know, well, you know, I don't have to pick them up every day from school. They could stay, you know, maybe like 2 days they could go to after school or 3 days they could go to after school. And luckily, you know, I struggled with that for a little bit. And I just decided, no, you know, no. The whole reason that I changed was so that I could see my kids. And so the answer is, you know, no. And so what I'll take from this is to know that someday, you know, when my kids don't need me as much, they're young, by the way, when my kids don't need me as much, there will be other opportunities. I can make more money, or I can expand, or I can do this, or I can do that. But for right now, I'm okay right where I am. And so I think you just have to set a limit and stick to it.
Yeah, that is so true. And I'm still working on that, but it is. It's such great advice because I think it's so easy when you're working at home for those lines to really get blurred because you don't have the same structure. You know, you don't have that imposed structure that you do when you're in the corporate world. So that's really good advice.
I have the same thing, guys. I mean, you know, even with teenagers, I have a 15-year-old, a 19-year-old, and, well, a 20-year-old. So now I am out of one of the teenage business things. But I'm very bad at, like, saying, okay, I'm going to work in my office. I find myself slapping. I get up in the morning. I put the laptop on the bed. I sit on the bed, and I end up, before I know it, it's 3 in the afternoon. You know, and I'm like, wow, I've been screwing around. I've been playing games online. I've gotten a little bit of work done, but it's so different than when you work out, you know, in an office.
But, you know, you guys are so driven and you're doing so many different things. When I was in an office and in the corporate world, I had to be really efficient because, you know, I knew that I needed to leave at some point. But there were other people I worked with who got a lot less done than I did, who worked a lot more hours. And I worked a lot of hours, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I worked circles around them because they were busy talking or gossiping or doing this or doing that. You know, someone was always in their office or they were complaining or they were, you know, doing those types of things. And so I think it doesn't matter if you're in an office or if you're in your home, you just decide or you have a deadline or you have whatever and this has to be done and I'm going to do it. And now I do it, you know, I don't have to get up and take a shower and get ready for work. I just come down and start work. So I don't know.
Yeah, that is so great. I love that too. I could just wake up, you know, brush my teeth, get my coffee and get to work and not have to dress up and put makeup on and...
I used to always laugh at the people that you had the picture of, you know, there was a commercial on back years and years ago that had, you know, a woman working at her desk in her bunny slippers, and I literally had bunny slippers back then, and now it's like, I'm like, wow, I'm actually living that life right now, only minus the bunny slippers. I don't have bunny slippers anymore, but other than that, I'm living that life. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm sitting here, I'm sitting on my bed, I'm in my pajamas. Sometimes I don't get a shower until 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you know? I'm like, crap, it's really late. I got to get a shower, you know? And I'm like, why am I even bothering? But I'm not going to become one of those disgusting people that never shower, you know? Ew. Ew.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, ew, that would be gross.
Showers are good. Showers are good.
Well, and that's the other aspect of it from working from home, too, is when there's nobody to really get up and get dressed for, you know, what's the motivation to do that? And that's so much part of being a woman and being, you know, I'm feeling I'm attractive and sexy and, you know, all those different things that we need that we need to do just to feel good about ourselves, you know, and you know, it's really easy to not put makeup on all day or for 2 days or 3 days and, you know, brushing your teeth, that's just gross if you don't brush your teeth. You got to brush your teeth at least. But it's like, you know, you can sit there and you can avoid washing your hair or whatever, and the UPS guy shows up and you're like, oh, my God, I can't answer the door. I look like hell, you know. It's just like it's complicated, you know. It gets a little crazy. So I think we still have to take care of not only physically, like, you know, like you're saying, health and wellness wise, by dieting and exercise and all that, which I'm very bad at. But also, we need to take care of ourselves on the outside too. You know, I mean, we need to. When you look in the mirror, every time you pass a mirror, if you think, oh my God, that's horrible, what the heck was that, you know, that's not good for you. That's not, you know, you, I put makeup on every day. I put makeup on to come on the radio. My kids make fun of me all the time. They're like, you know, Mom, nobody can see you, right? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's a thing. It's a thing, you know. It's
an
a thing
attitude.
I got. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's so much to it. But you know what I wanted to ask you? And Daria, were you done with your question?
Well, actually, yeah. Well, you can ask. I have another question for Kara more about her business, but you can go first, and I'll
okay, I'm just wondering about, like, what was the place where you were just like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. What was it, a day? Was it just what happened that you were just done?
There was one thing, one very specific thing that happened. In my series of taking these small steps to make a change in my life, I hired a nanny, and this nanny was taking my son to Taekwondo on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 4:30. And so at 5:30, I would pick him up, and that meant that I got to see him, and, you know, I got home at a decent time, and I got to see my family. Well, one Tuesday, my CEO came in. Do I have a reverberation on my phone?
I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear it?
Yeah,
I do hear it.
Oh, I hate when that happens. Are you calling from your phone, Kara?
I'm calling from a landline. I don't hear it now.
Okay, I swear
sometimes the landlines are the worst. I say that all the time. Everybody's like, call from a landline, and I think it's worse sometimes.
So anyway, I apologize. Okay, good. But, you know, I thought, well, those are 2 days that I'm going to get home at a decent time. And it was, you know, like set in stone. And so I didn't put it in my phone or anything. I just knew on Tuesdays and Thursdays I had to be at Taekwondo to pick up my son at 5:30. Well, one Tuesday, my CEO, who I worked directly under, came in my office, and it was about 4 o'clock, and he invited me to go to some breakfast the next day. And it was a networking thing, and it was, you know, this is how you're going to meet the right people and do this and be on your way to the next level. Well, I already knew that I didn't want to go to the next level, but I also knew the CEO, and if I didn't do this, then, you know, I was kind of going to be out. And so I thought, okay, you know, I've got to stay here until at least 5, because if I leave before 5, he's going to freak out. But my car's a mess, and he wanted me to pick him up the next morning, so I've got to leave at 5, and I've got to clean out my car. And I left, and I cleaned out my car, and I wasn't done with my work, but I was going to do it at home that night. So I clean out my car, and I'm thinking about this breakfast, and I'm thinking about the CEO, and I start driving home, and I think, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't even have groceries. We had been out of town that weekend. You know, I had stuff for my kids to eat, but I didn't have anything to eat. There was nothing for my husband to eat. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to run in the store really quickly and grab a few things, and I'll still be home before I normally get there. And I went in the grocery store, and I came out, and my phone rang, and it was my husband. And as soon as I saw his name, I remembered that I didn't pick Blake up at Taekwondo. And I just started crying. I mean, I just lost it. And I just completely forgot. And he was 5. you know. I mean, he was just a little kid. And so I called the studio, the Taekwondo studio, and they said, oh, you know, he's fine. He's watching TV. And you know, I'm bawling my eyes out. And my husband went to get him because I was just a mess. And I went home. They came home. He was fine. Blake was fine. He wasn't upset or anything like that. But I was devastated. I mean, I was absolutely devastated that I did not even remember to go get him. And so that night I decided, you know, that this whole plan, back plan that I had going on, this whole process to get me to the next level, I mean, it was over. I was done. It was going to change, and it was going to change quick. So then, of course, I had to convince my husband, but but it all worked out.
I kind of feel crappy for asking the question now. That's hard.
I mean, it just, so many people tried to tell me, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad, and but it is. It's terrible. It was just terrible.
I think, again, we beat ourselves up so much. You know, we just do. And that reverberation, by the way, is on all of us, I think, now. Daria, do you hear that?
I don't hear it now. Isn't that funny?
I don't know what's going on because I hear it now, and I didn't hear it before, and I'm hearing it on all of us. Except you, Daria. I don't hear it from you.
That's interesting.
So anyway, Daria, you had another question.
Yeah, I did. Kara, I wanted to just talk a little bit, getting back to the business that you started. Like, how did you go about it? And, I mean, I know you mentioned it briefly at the beginning of the show, but how did you go about it? Who were your customers? And how, like, you know, how did being in the corporate world, I guess, prepare you to be able to start a successful business?
Well, I think being in the corporate world or being in sales actually really prepared me for it because, you know, when you're going out trying to get clients, really you are selling yourself, selling your talents and selling your capabilities and your work ethic and all that stuff. And the organization that I kind of hooked up with and started taking this course from sort of outlined this whole process for, you know, how to find clients and get clients. And there were a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, the first thing I had to do was decide exactly what I was going to do because, you know, as you know, there are a bajillion things you can do with writing. And I didn't try to do 100 different things. I just tried to do one thing, which was to write sales letters and to write sales letters for health and wellness and fitness. And the company I was taking classes from had a lot of, they're called spec assignments, where you write a promotion, and if the company likes it, they'll pay you for it and then hire you to do additional things. And so that's really kind of how I got started. And once you have someone who's paying you and you're doing work for them, they kind of tell someone else, and they tell someone else. And so for me, I've been really lucky that I've grown my business with word of mouth, but I also know, you know, a lot of other ways to do it if somehow that dries up or if I decide I need more, certainly social media, just directly contacting companies, especially if you want to do mid-level company work. I worked in a hospital, and our marketing department was so overworked, they were always outsourcing stuff. And so you kind of know the pain point of a mid-sized company, two people trying to do 10 people's work. And that's really the American way now. So if you call enough people, you'll find someone who really needs help, and they'll give you a shot. I mean, basically, I've found that to be really true. And so that's how I got started. That's how I'll continue to grow.
That's awesome. Did you ever have to deal with any skeptics in your life who, even though they recognize your talent and ability, did you deal with anybody, or have you ever had to deal with anybody who was, I don't want to say not supportive, but who was just maybe skeptical? I think a lot of times sometimes there are people who see somebody going after a dream or what they really want, and it causes them maybe to not be as supportive because maybe they themselves don't have the freedom to do it, or they just don't have the same motivation or courage to do it for themselves. And sometimes I think that manifests itself in kind of criticizing somebody else for doing that.
Sure. I mean, it was really hard for me for a long time to say, you know, people ask you, well, what do? It was kind of hard for me to say, well, I'm a copywriter. And I don't know why, you know, I should have been really proud of it. And it was kind of when I found that point of pride that things moved forward. But you know, first of all, you have to be proud of yourself. And then as far as the other skeptics, well, you know, I mean, you just have to eat their lunch someday. I talked to one person, you know, if you make other friends in the industry and you kind of talk to them and ask them what they've done. And had one friend who told me he had this boss at one point who was just really giving him a hard time and who ended up taking credit for all of his work and just did it out of spite and jealousy. And so he wrote that guy's name down and he hung it up beside his computer and he looked at it every day and just decided, you know, I'm going to show him that I can do this, and I'm going to show him, and I'm going to show the 50 other people who think I'm crazy. And so you just do. You know, when you have that motivation and you have that drive and you have that desire and you have that inner happiness that we talked about, it kind of just all comes together. I mean, I had heard that over and over and over and over, and it never happened for me in my whole life. But when I finally found the thing that filled me up, you know, the thing where the day just went by so fast and I was, you know, happy at home and happy at work, it just kind of all came together.
Did you have a lot of support at home? I mean, when you were making these changes in your life, and I like talking about the change part. I like talking about, like, the you know, because everybody talks about change. Well, I'm going to make this change, and you see the end point, but it's that first step that kind of that kind of gets people lost, because they don't even know that first step to take to make that change. So I guess mine's kind of a double question, is in a way, is you know, was your husband and your family supportive? And also, you know, what was that first step? I know we know what the catalyst was. What caused you to need to make that made you feel like you needed to make the change? But what do you feel that actually, you know, what was that first step that you took?
So two questions for me, you know, taking the first step, and that would really be my advice and the, you know, quote-unquote secret that I mentioned in the beginning is to find one thing that makes you feel better. So for me, that was exercise. I mean, because I wasn't exercising. I mean, I wasn't even seeing my kids, so I definitely wasn't, you know, going to the gym, but I was working really long hours. And I know, I mean, I can feel a difference in myself if I don't exercise. The stress just builds and builds. I mean, people say I'm going to blow my top. That's how it feels, like my head is going to explode. So I just decided that I had to exercise. And I wasn't taking a lunch break at work. So I decided I deserved a lunch break. And when I took my lunch break, I was going to exercise. And that's what I did. And I did it every day, and if for some reason, you know, there were meetings or whatever and I couldn't, I exercised at night. And it just kind of brought me down enough that I had a little bit of clarity. And so I decided to take another step. And my next step, you know, once you have a little bit of clarity, you're a little bit more open to other things that kind of pop in your path. And I read this article, and it was a lady saying how she, you know, decided to give her kids 15 minutes of undivided attention a day. So instead of, you know, picking them up and rushing home and fixing dinner and turning on the TV and them screaming in the background, she decided she would give them her undivided attention first. And usually it took about 15 minutes before they were ready to do something else. So I decided I was going to give them, this was before I had the nanny, 15 minutes of undivided attention. And, you know, once I did that and I was connecting with them, I kind of found my compass and or my motivator, and it's something that I call the blue eyes test because my kids both have blue eyes. I have blue eyes. They have blue eyes. My husband has blue eyes. And just when they're happy, I mean, their eyes sparkle. And I mean, you can just see it and you feel it. And so I made it my goal, and it's still my goal every day to pass the blue eyes test.
Aww.
That kind of
makes
you
happy. That's sweet. It's so sweet. I mean, that's so sweet, though. You know, I mean, that's I like that.
Hey, ladies, we actually have a caller.
Yay! We didn't even give the number out.
Well, I've been live tweeting now.
Oh, that's happening. And let me just say the number for anybody who wants to call in besides this wonderful person who just called in. The number is 347-945-7246. If you have a question or comment, 347-945-7246 and press 1 and we'll get you on the air. Go for it, Daria.
Well, we have Patrice Lyle on the line. I'm going to bring her on here in just a second. She and I have been communicating on Twitter. I think it started today. And Patrice is an author, and she's very much into holistic health. And so I'm going to go ahead without further ado and bring her on the line, Kara, so she can ask her question.
Okay.
Hey, Patrice.
Hey, Kara. It's Patrice.
Hi.
Hello. Hey. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what sort of copywriting things you do in the alternative health market.
Sure. What I do is called direct response copywriting. So what that means is my pieces go directly to prospects or potential customers. So for me, in alternative health, that means supplements, health supplements, or, you know, sometimes it's fitness videos, or I like to call it what I do, an integrative health focus. And we kind of mentioned it before, mind, body, and spirit. So for me, I will get behind anything I think is going to positively impact someone's mind, body, and spirit. And so luckily, the organization that I hooked up with kind of teaches you that, you know, if you don't really feel like this works. You know, if it's a supplement, then ask to take the supplement. Or if it's a workout video, then you need to try the workout video. And if you don't feel like it's really something you believe in, then your writing is never going to show that you believe in it. So don't even take the job. But those are long answer. Those are the kind of things that I focus on and that I choose to, you know, put my writing to.
Wow, well, thank you. That's a great answer. And what organization did you go to learn to do copywriting?
It's called American Writers and Artists Incorporated, or AWAI. And their website is awaionline.com. I'm not affiliated with them in any way, but just happened to be the one I started with. Now, there are, you know, a lot of others who teach you really valuable things, and so that's a limited snapshot, but it was a really good beginning for me, a really strong base, I'll put it that way.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Patrice, thank you for your call, and I just want to let everybody know that Patrice is going to be my guest in January on Write Stream Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, me too.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night. Thanks for the call, Patrice.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Right.
Okay, so I'll go back to the question. you know, so I had developed this blue eyes test. So then,
right.
You know, what's my next step? And I hired the nanny not because I wanted to work more and have someone take care of my kids. I hired the nanny because I was spending an hour driving from work to get my kids, to get home, to have to fix dinner. And so I thought if she could get my kids and do their dinner so that when I got home, I could just play with them, it would be, you know, life-changing for us. And so there were kind of these little steps. And one of those steps for me was to decide, you know, at night, I kind of say there are some top keys to success, and one is to find your motivator and make it your compass. And so for me, that was the blue eyes test. The second is don't waste time on anything that isn't moving you toward your goal. So for me, I was applying online for jobs every night that weren't going to get me anywhere. You know, I kind of changed my definition of what I may be open to, and I signed up for the writing course. The third huge thing, I think, for women is to, or anybody, you know, stop self-limiting. I was so stuck in this idea that if I, you know, I'm in sales, I've always done sales. If I go to a different sales job, I'll have more flexibility like I did when I was, you know, 20. I just had this very limited scope of what I thought I could do. And so once I recognized that I had other talents and I kind of started on this path and I got happy and whole, I got all these job offers. Now I had a plan for what I was going to do, so I didn't take any of them. But, you know, I kind of realized that I was really limiting myself because I was this crazy, stressed-out woman. And, you know, who's going to offer some crazy, stressed-out woman a job? But once I was happy and I was open, when I did decide to leave my job, I mean, I'm not kidding you, there were probably 20 different people who offered me jobs because they didn't want to lose me. You know, they were clients of the hospital, and, you know, they didn't want me to go away. So, you know, that was kind of cool. But anyway, the fourth thing is to seek the guidance of others, because I think sometimes, you know, you get so busy, and for me anyway, my mind starts working and turning, and I come up with this plan of what I'm going to do, but I don't really bounce it off a lot of other people. I just decide, okay, this is it. I'm going to do it. And it's very valuable to talk to other people who are doing what you want to do, you know, and you can connect through LinkedIn, or you can go to a, you know, professional society meeting, or you can, there are a lot of ways to find people who are doing what you think you might want to do, and just ask them for 5 minutes to talk, buy them coffee or whatever, and not everyone is going to say yes, but, you know, the people who are too busy to help other people, they're not the people you want to be like anyway. So eventually you're going to find somebody that can kind of guide you and help you along the way.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice, Kara. And I want to take a short break, and then I want to come back and give you an opportunity to tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, and if anybody has any last questions for you, because we are getting to the end of the show, and I just want to make sure that there's nothing more that we need to cover. But let's think about that and take a short break. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes, if everyone can just hold on. We'll be right back.
Don't you know that every girl needs a good friend and a glass of wine?
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
All right, we're back, and thank you, everybody, for hanging in there through the break. That, by the way, the music that we are playing for our intro and for our stinger music, the in and out, that little thing. Anyway, that's Leanne Rimes, A Good Friend and a Glass of Wine, which happens to be one of my favorite songs, and I thought it was, Darry and I agreed it was, and Kristen, well, Kristen a little less so, but she's 19, so, you know, whatever. We all agreed that it was a perfect song for this show, and I just want to give her the credit for that amazing song, although I would love to say that it was me singing it. It is not.
It's not.
Yeah, no. We just said that.
Well, definitely not me. I know that. So.
Yeah, I like to pretend I'm Leanne Rimes sometimes.
Far too often, yeah.
Yeah, Kristen thinks a little too often, but I like to pretend, and I do sing loudly.
Very loudly.
And it sometimes keeps the family up, but I'm having fun, and they can just deal with it or move out. That's how I feel.
Love it.
She's trying to give me, like, ink tattoos right now. She's being very immature.
You are.
Anyway, but what I wanted to do, and Terriet, please let me know, do you have any other questions you wanted to ask Kara? Because there's so many things we didn't cover and so many things that I don't know. There's so much to do, but I want to make sure that we have a chance to give her the opportunity to, advertise what she's doing for herself. And I know, really, Kara, from what I understand about you and from what I understand about everything that I've seen about you, really, you're just trying to help. I mean, you're not trying to, I mean, obviously, you're trying to make a living off your copywriting business, but what you're doing on our show and what you're doing in a lot of ways is just trying to help other women get unstuck from, you know, the place that a lot of us end up, where you were, where I've been, and still end up at sometimes. I feel like you're really just trying to help. And I want to know, am I missing something? Is there, obviously, we
no,
want to.
No, I mean.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
You're exactly right. And I kind of realized after I contacted you that, you know, there was probably something I was supposed to be promoting or this and that. And I'm not. I don't have an e-book. I don't even have a website. I mean, I'm kind of a mom-and-pop shop, and I go word of mouth like I told you. But, you know, I feel like I have been really blessed, and it didn't come – my success did not come without cost. You know, there was a cost to my family. There was a cost to myself, and I don't want it to be like that from everybody. And I think, you know – sometimes women have to hear it 10 different ways, or sometimes there's a certain voice or a certain story that resonates that, you know, kind of tells you, wait a minute, you know, I can do that same thing. And so, you know, for me, I just really wanted to share my story and, put myself out there, and, you know, if anyone wants to contact me for help or ask me how I did it, or, you know, if you want me to, you know, write down my keys to success or whatever, I would be happy to do that. And, you know, and maybe someday that's the next step for me. You know, maybe someday that means that's, I do want to write a book, or I do want to do this, or I do want to do that. But for now, my schedule is pretty full. So, but if I can save the world just a little bit, that's kind of what keeps me going.
So I have a question real quick. What would you suggest to someone, like a college student?
Like you?
Someone that might be like me. someone around my age, what would you suggest for success?
Well, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I mean, imagine going back to being 19 and having it all to, like, she doesn't listen to me, so somebody else has to give her advice. Being 19 and having it all ahead of you, I mean, what do you say from your perspective, Kara?
Oh, I think she might have dropped the call. Dropped, Lisa.
Oh, I just Christy. Saw that. I was like, wow. I think we really gave her a stumper.
You know, like I said, it's internet radio, and it keeps us on our toes because we just never know what's going to happen. So,
well, what's really strange?
On radio, keep talking.
Yeah, what's really strange is that, I mean, she was calling from a landline, and I don't know about you, but with my show, I'm noticing that landlines are causing me more trouble than Skype or cell phones.
That's what happens when I ask questions.
No, I sit there poking Kristen. You got to ask a question. There's stuff you can learn from her. And she's like, Mom!
Well, I have found lately that Skype is the best connection.
Yeah.
I don't use a landline anymore. I just go with my cell phone. But this, I find it's better voice quality with Skype. So that's what I've been using with Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I've been using Skype as well. And some people are complaining about it. You know, and if I'm going to be a guest on somebody's show, they might be like, you know, don't come on. Don't call from Skype. And I'm like, really, a landline, really? You know, because I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in them anymore, and it's ridiculous, I know. But I think we've got her back.
She's back on another line, so let me go ahead and click her microphone live.
Okay.
Welcome back, Kara.
Thank you. I am believing what you say about the landlines. I don't know what the heck happened there. But anyway.
We were just talking about it. It's a crazy phenomena. We don't get it either, but go ahead.
You know, for you, Kristen, I would say – you kind of have to follow your heart. And I always thought if I pinned down the career part while I was young, then I wouldn't have to, you know, worry about having time for everything when I was older and had kids. And I did have kids, you know, later than some people do. And that didn't hold true for me because by then I was so immersed and, you know, my work ethic was so set that it kind of backfired. But, you know, if I could go back in time, I would do what so many people told me to do, which is to honor my gift. And my gift was always writing. And you guys asked, if, you know, what kind of support I got at home for doing this. And it was a little bit of a struggle with my husband. And I thought that it might be with my mom because she's kind of like your Aunt Daria, who, you know, you have to have benefits and you have to have this and you have to have that. And I really thought she would give me a hard time about it. And instead, she pulled out this box of stuff that she had kept for, you know, 20 years. And it was stuff that I wrote in high school and stuff I wrote in college and awards I won and, you know, letters I received where, you know, my college wanted to put some of my stuff in the a natural history museum, even some of the interviews that I did when I was in college. And, you know, she said, I'm so glad you finally are doing what you were always good at. And it just kind of felt like, man, why didn't you tell me that 20 years ago? But, you know, just follow your heart and honor your gifts and honor yourself.
Well,
yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah, that's great advice because I think that you you know, a lot of times we forget to do that. We forget to pay attention to who we are. We're always trying to be somebody that our parents wanted us to be, or somebody that our, you know, some family member wanted us to be or expected us to be, and we forget to, you know, remember who we are and what we want to be and who we want to be and what we want to do to you know, change the world. And I think we all change the world. You know, it's just different ways of changing the world. It's different, and it's different amounts of people that are in the world. You know what I mean? That not that are in the world, but that we're actually able to affect in the world. Like, you know, for me, if one person listens to one of my shows every month and like gets something little out of it, you know, or reads my book and gets something small out of it, I feel like I've done like something pretty amazing, because I've just helped somebody, you know. And when I do a reading with somebody, when I'm doing my psychic stuff, and when I'm doing my holistic healing and energy work and all of that. And, you know, if I can make the smallest change in somebody's life, say the right thing, do the right thing, help a person just a little bit, I feel so honored to be given the opportunity to be able to do that. And I think that's what everybody's really looking for, you know, no matter what you do for work, that's what everybody's looking to do, is to be able to be of value to other people.
Right. And you know, and success follows. When you're, I guess that's the part I left out of my answer, Kristen. It may seem, you know, like a struggle or a challenge, but in my experience, you know, success just kind of follows. When you're doing what you're good at and you're happy and, you know, all cylinders are firing, then you're successful. And the difference for me was that, you know, kind of what made me happy changed after I had kids. You know, I didn't understand that before I had them. And so for me, you know, a lot of what made me happy was getting promoted, or, you know, being successful in, you know, this job or that job. And I can see in hindsight a lot of things I missed because of that, you know. I mean, relationships that I, you know, basically destroyed, and, you know, things that I would definitely change if I could. So I would just say to start young, and like I said, honor yourself, honor relationships, you know, value other people, and success comes from all of that happiness.
You know, it's funny because this is like, Kristen is so type A. I mean, she's just 100 miles an hour all the time. She works almost full time at a music studio. She goes to school full time, almost full time.
Not anymore. Not for the next like month.
Oh yeah, she's on winter break now, so she's all happy. She had her last final today. High five, cake. All right, and So she's got that going on, but she's like, you know, a almost full-time student. She's in a community college right now, and she doesn't ever have any damn fun. And I'm like, you've got to have some fun. You've got to relax.
It's either fun or sleeping, and I'm sorry, but I
no,
have
you've
to gotta
make time for both, because you're 19. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, I don't have time
for fun.
I just don't. It's one of those things, all right? I just crossed it off my list.
Oh, my gosh.
Get to it later.
As her mom, and looking back at 19 years old, I'm like, I know I thought the same way, but I don't know. I guess I had friends and people that maybe forced me to have fun. So I try to be that person that forces her to have fun. And she's like looking at me like I'm a complete idiot. Like, what are you talking about? Fun. Who has time for fun? I have a job, Mom. I have to go to school, Mom, you know. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me for asking you to, I don't know, have some fun in your life. But
that's not what I sound like.
It is, pretty much. But it's so cute because she's just so like, okay, you're not cute. There's nothing cute about you. I'm sorry. I take the cute word back immediately. 19-year-old girls do not like the cute word. Anyway, I for me, I'm always just like, I mean, what I wouldn't do to go back and and have that time back. And I got the same lecture from my parents. I don't know, is this just like in our DNA? Is this what we're programmed to do forever? Is just lecture our kids about the same things that we make the same mistakes from?
It seems to be, yeah.
You're mean.
Well, don't burn out, Kristen. Don't burn out before you're 25.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I worry that she's going to do is she's just going to work herself into a place where she's, you know, too unhappy to, you know, to even, I don't know, find any kind of joy in her life. You know, I'm always like, find some joy. And believe me, I also have to tell myself to find joy. I mean, it's not always easy. We're busy. We have things going on, you know, but it's great that we have forums like Love Liberty and Lip Gloss and other women's, you know, magazines, TV shows, radio shows, and groups, you know, local groups, community groups, friends, things that we can get together and we can talk and share and, you know, communicate with each other. And you know, and I think it's a lot of it is just a matter of feeling like, okay, we're not alone, you know, feeling that camaraderie between us all, knowing that we have, you know, a lot of us are in the same boat, that we're all dealing with a lot of the same issues. And some of us are better at putting on a happy face and dealing with it with a smile than others, you know. So I think that's a big part of it. Kara, tell everybody how you can they can get a hold of you if they want to get in touch with you, that sort of thing. Anyway, you don't have a website, but do you have a way of people getting in touch with you?
Yes, of course. I don't have a website. But it, you know, anyone who wants to email me, it's karahawkinscopywriting@gmail.com. So karahawkinscopywriting@gmail.com. And I'll give my cell phone number out. It's 704-905-8648. And, I'm open. Anyone who needs a little bit of guidance, kind of like I said, find someone to talk to. Figure out what your next step is and get going, get moving, and take your life back. So anyway, I can help. I'm here to do it.
I love that, and I love the idea of get moving and take your life back, because that's, you know, on my way to get my hair cut today, I was driving down the road, and I'm thinking, you know, I need to just move. I'm like, I get so stuck. I get, you know, you turn on the computer, and you're stuck in front of it, and all of a sudden, it's been 4 hours. And I haven't moved from my chair, you know. It's like, and a lot of it is when you come down to the health and fitness part of it. A lot of it is just moving, and figuring it all out. I think once the oxygen starts running through our brains again, you know, because we're moving and breathing and living normally, we can actually figure stuff out. So it was a great information that you gave us, and I really appreciate your being on the show today. Kara, Daria, did you have anything you wanted to end with?
No, I just wanted to thank Kara so much for joining us tonight. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I got a lot of great information, and I want to thank Patrice for joining us tonight because I
absolutely,
with her earlier.
I tweeted with her as well. I sent her a tweet, but I did not. I couldn't get on my computer. Well, I told you about my computer problems earlier, Daria, and I wasn't able to get to my laptop till later. But she's awesome. I think she's awesome, and we've got so much coming on this stage, on this network. So I'm so excited about it. I just can't. Tell everybody enough. And Kara, we appreciate so much your being part of it tonight and being one of our first guests, I believe our third
Yay.
Guest, our third guest ever on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Yes, which we expect to become a global thing, right, Daria? I mean, it's going to be like, I don't know, a household word, Love, Liberty, Lip Gloss, and those babes on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
Well, it's our fastest growing show, so yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
so you'll have to have me back when.
Yes, yes. And we'll have to get you to market us and get us out there, because I think that's something that you're very good at. Anyway, my daughter's showing me very strange pictures on her phone right now because she's just like that. And she's always trying to get me to giggle, You got to give her that. She's quiet, but she's on her phone, all the time, except when she's doing other things. I don't know. Anyway, so, Kara, thank you again for being on the show, and we will definitely have you back. We've got so much scheduled coming up on this show, and you would be a great fit for Just Believe as well, because we do talk a lot about this same sort of thing with health and wellness on Just Believe. So I'll definitely be in touch with you in the future, so we can get you back on either LLL or on Just Believe or both.
Wonderful, thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here, Kara. We appreciate it.
Yes,
I enjoyed it. Y'all too.
Thanks for your great advice. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. What did you, Daria? What did you think? I mean, it's a great topic. Having it all. I think that's kind of what we really are. I think that was kind of one of our themes, I guess, of the whole idea of our show, was women and all the things that they're asked to balance, and all the things that they're asked to, or we're asked as women to manage and be a part of, and I think she's a perfect example, of someone who went from being in the corporate world to doing things her way,
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I appreciated that she said, though, that having it all is an individual definition.
Right.
So, women can be very fulfilled staying at home if that's what they choose to do and they've got a great situation. So, I just think it's a very personal definition for everybody. I think she's right when she says that. So it's really about finding what works for you. So.
I really agree, and I think that there are, I'm a hater. I always say this all the time. Only time I ever use the word hater, I swear, is when it comes to labels. I don't like labeling at all. I think it limits us. It defines. It makes us think we're defined and limited. I don't like it. And when you think about it in that aspect, when you think about, am I defining myself as being a stay-at-home mom? Because that's what I'm choosing to do, that does not mean that you are not capable or able to do more. It's what your choice is. And I think the choice is so, I think it's such an honorable choice. Honestly, when my kids were little, I don't know if I could have done it. I would have strangled them. I would have been like, I don't know if I could have done it. It's not easy being a stay-at-home mom. It's not easy being a working mom. It's not easy being single. None of it's easy. None of it's easy. So, there's a lot to be said about, everything that she brought up, and a lot to be said about what we're thinking about with this show and what we have planned for future shows. That we're talking about so many different aspects of a woman's life and so many aspects of a woman's life, no matter what your age is. Whether you're 19 like my daughter or, a pretty looking awesome 40-something-year-old like me. Right, Keek? Right?
Sure thing, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're – or if you're in your 60s or 70s. We're all at different stages of our life, and we're all, we're all still – doing our thing. We're still surviving and we're getting by, and we need to do more than survive. We need to be happy, And I think that was a lot of what the message is tonight.
Yeah, I agree. It was great.
All right. So next up, let's see. Today is Friday. So next up is my show on Sunday, and I'm having some computer tech issues, so I don't really want to talk about that, but I have a wonderful guest, obviously, scheduled for Sunday, who I don't I haven't put her promo stuff out there, but check on check back on blogtalkradio.com/ rightstream, and you will find out that information hopefully later tonight or tomorrow at the latest. I'm working on getting everything back. I had a little computer crash situation that kind of got me about a week behind. Well, actually, it's probably months behind, but I'm only accepting it as being a week behind. And Kristen is doing everything in her power to help me with that, so that's good. But so my show's next, followed by Military Monday at 1 o'clock on Monday with John D. Gresham. And then, of course, Daria's show, Daria DiGiovanni or Daria Ann, on Tuesday with Right Stream Tuesday, followed by Family Power Hour on Wednesday at 7 p.m., Kristen's like, really, Mom? She's like, you remember all of these shows? Yes, I do. Then, of course, another Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Friday night. So, everybody have a fantastic week. Have a finish your Christmas shopping and all that, if that's what you've got going on. And we will be back in the air again for another episode of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Sunday. Or I'm sorry, my show Sunday on Friday at 7 p.m. Daria, any last words?
No, I just want to thank everybody for listening and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Everybody,
thank
enjoy
you
it. Be safe up here if you're in the Northeast or anywhere in the country that's getting snowed.
No, be safe regardless, even if it isn't snowing.
True that, Kristen. True that. Be safe, even if it's not snowing. Here I go again. Oh, no, remember that winter? The snow shovel incident? It was horrible. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But great talking to everybody. And, Daria, I will be in touch. And everybody have a fantastic week to come. And thank you very much, everyone, for listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. We will talk to all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't you know that every girl needs a good friend?